You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. People with diabetes depend on insulin to survive, but the price of insulin has tripled in the last decade. Studies show some patients even have to skip doses because it's so expensive. So a group of citizen scientists from Oakland are cooking up their own solutions. Reporter Christy Cole brings us the story of Breaking Good.
Hey. I'm walking into Oakland's Counterculture Labs in the Temescal. It's a makerspace for scientists. On any given day, you can find someone developing a new kind of vegan cheese or brewing kombucha. And then there are these people here today making insulin. It's Cottage Industry Pharmaceuticals.
We can use the EDD technique to distinguish between the proinsulin and the insulin.
This is Jan de Kumedec. He's a PhD biochemist from France, but here in the U.S., he leads the scientific team for the Open Insulin Project. It's a DIY endeavor to make insulin. DIY as in de Kumedec's a scientist, but sometimes he also has to be the repairman.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's really working.
He's trying to fix a machine that will purify the insulin he makes. The machine's so ancient, it still has a floppy disk drive.
It's pretty old school. But it's, as long as it works, I'm fine with it.
The equipment is dated, but the scientific work happening here is cutting edge.
You grow some yeast, and to modify them, you mix the yeast you grow with the plasmid.
This is genetic engineering. It's the art of taking a snippet of DNA or plasmid from one organism and placing it into the DNA of another to give it certain traits or abilities. Yeast by itself won't make insulin. De Kumedec takes a piece of DNA that has instructions for making insulin and injects it into the yeast cells and shocks it with a jolt of electricity to get the yeast to accept the insulin DNA. Soon, the yeast will turn into factories for making insulin proteins. He uses a centrifuge to separate the solution.
So all the yeast will be on the bottom, and what will be left in the solution will be the media and your protein of interest.
After this whole process, de Kumedec is left with proteins that can make insulin. Look, this science is not groundbreaking. Drug companies have been making insulin this way for decades, and they own the patents on how to do it. What's special about what de Kumedec and his colleagues do is they've figured out their own method for making this insulin from scratch. And they want to keep their method open sourced. They're not looking to make a profit. They just want to make insulin that's accessible and affordable for people with diabetes. People like Jessica Ching. Hey, Jessica.
Come on in.
Oh, thanks. I visit Ching at her Berkeley home.
How are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Ching has type 1 diabetes.
If I don't have insulin and I just do my regular day and I eat my regular food, I might live 72 hours.
There's only 3 companies that produce insulin, so by default, they control the price. And that price just keeps getting higher, way higher. Over the last 20 years, the price of insulin's gone up tenfold. That's led people like Ching to look for other options.
So I'm a big do-it-yourselfer. I learned many years ago to take my own health into my hands.
So she started a group for other diabetics to swap ideas on how to improve the pumps they use to get insulin, and another group that builds an artificial version of pancreas, the organ in the body that makes insulin. And she joined the Open Insulin Project 2 years ago to help them with research. Not only that, she trains dogs, like her 2-year-old black lab, Wendy.
So I don't know if you noticed, she's wearing her little green stick.
She's trained Wendy to bite on that stick whenever she smells Ching's blood sugar dropping. That's a signal to inject insulin. Ching does all this work because she wants to find solutions that are more affordable and livable than what mainstream medicine has to offer her. She says lots of people with diabetes are looking more to each other than to their doctors for advice and solutions.
I think I could sum it up in the hashtag of the movement, which is #WeAreNotWaiting.
But for people like Ching to benefit from the Open Insulin Project, it will take more than just research.
This is more, perhaps, yeah, more local, and when people get in...
Back at Counterculture Labs in Oakland, seven people sit in mismatched office chairs around some beat-up folding tables. Today, they're discussing their organization's next steps, like how to mass-produce the drug and get it to patients.
And that's part of why we have the idea of a bunch of autonomous small-scale groups.
That's Open Insulin founder Anthony DeFranco. DeFranco has type 1 diabetes. So did his father. Like Jessica Ching, he told me he wants diabetics to take charge of their own access to insulin.
There are a lot of reasons why people should be making their own medicine and should have control over the means of doing that. Unfortunately, it's not just an abstract issue. We're seeing right now that a system where people don't control the means of making their own medicine prevails right now, and it has lately been really ruthlessly exploiting people with diabetes.
DeFranco told me, ideally, he wants insulin dispensaries to be like microbreweries run by patients in their neighborhoods. That's a lofty goal. But there's no real regulation in place for this now. The FDA would need to recognize Open Insulin as a generic drug maker. In the meantime, the work of DIY groups like Open Insulin are part of a movement pressuring the drug companies to make insulin cheaper. And it's working. So far, one insurance company and one insulin maker have promised to lower drug prices. But if the Open Insulin Project has its way, diabetes patients will no longer need to rely on those companies' generosity for getting a medicine they need to survive. In Oakland, I'm Christy Cole for Cross Currents.